Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
In the heart of war-torn South Sudan and across the continent of Africa, the Holy Spirit is igniting a powerful transformation. Join us this week as we delve into the prophetic word with Dr. Correll. Don't miss the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the fire and anointing sweeping across Africa and the 2024 Fire and Anointing Conferences spanning key cities from Mombasa and Nairobi in Kenya to Juba in South Sudan and Kampala in Uganda, with new additions this year in Tanzania and Ethiopia. Dr. Correll is empowering pastors from remote villages, providing them with essentials and gathering them for this extraordinary event. Today, Dr. Correll has a personal and profound prophetic word for you, resonating with the power of Pentecost. Stay tuned as we join Dr. Correll and uncover the timely message she has prepared for us.
Conscience seared with a hot iron. How does one's conscience become seared? We don't even teach anymore in the church that a conscience is absolutely necessary for a devout Christian life. Because we don't use our conscience anymore. We think that's old hat. Or we don't use our conscience because we have grace now. Well, then this person who says you don't need your conscience because we have grace needs to read the New Testament. Paul mentions conscience in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. He said, I bear witness. He said, I testify, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Turn to your neighbor and say, part of the reason you may not be hearing from the Holy Ghost is your conscience is not working. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. In 1 Timothy, Paul said, the end of the commandment is this, to have good faith, to have faith and a good conscience. Everyone's staring at me, blank as the day. But I don't care if you're blank as the day. I'm going to preach the word of God the way it is written. Where does the conscience begin to be seared with a hot iron? When the Holy Spirit within us begins to convict us on little things. When he says, you know what? You have a hardened heart. You need to go back and apologize to that person. And you justify it. You say, you know what? To yourself. I don't need to go back and apologize to that person because I'm saved. They're unbelievers. Or maybe the conscience has convicted you to show kindness to someone. And you were just too busy. See, the Holy Ghost doesn't let us get away with things. He wants us to be like Jesus. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost. Not just to make us feel good. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to make us like Jesus. Are you hearing this? So that means if you don't need a conscience, you're perfectly like Jesus and you need no help. But you see, the closer you are to Jesus, the more he's going to make you like Jesus. To each person, the law in your conscience is different. What is totally lawful for you may not be lawful for me. I'm not in a box. You're not in a box. It's what the Holy Ghost tells you according to Scripture. Are you with me, saints? Do you understand that? I want you to understand, lead us not into temptation. What does this exactly mean to the believer? Looking at Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus said this prayer in the Lord's Prayer, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says, "For this cause I could no longer forbear. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means that tempter come and tempt you, and our labor be in vain." He wanted to know their condition. Why? Not because he's spying on the church. He wanted to know their condition so that if there's any temptation, he can clear it up. He can show them how to fight it. You see, the only way we can understand what temptation is like and why Jesus wants us to resist it, Jesus wants us to overcome it, Jesus wants us to be victorious over it. That's why he shed his blood on Calvary and gave us grace. The Bible tells us Jesus is our champion model for resisting temptation. Who do you follow in this world? Do you follow man? Do you follow religion? Or do you follow Jesus? If you follow Jesus, then you must live like Jesus. You must walk like Jesus. And your goal in life should be to be like Jesus. Everybody's got a goal to be famous, a goal to be rich, a goal to be successful. But how about a training course on a goal to be like Jesus? I can't get any help in here. Luke chapter 4. Jesus shows us the champion that he is over temptation. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible tells us that Jesus, being led, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2 says, to be tempted. I said to be tempted. To be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And in those days he fasted and ate nothing. Why did he need to be tempted? Why did the Spirit of God lead him into the wilderness? Because Jesus is showing us something. Every time we overcome temptation, we take more authority. Maybe you didn't hear this. Let me go over here. Every time you resist temptation, you have more authority over the enemy. Every time you resist it, every time you say no, you may be shaking. You may be crying. But you say no. And the Holy Ghost gave you the power to say no. Every time you resist temptation, you take territory. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not afraid of temptation anymore, because I know that Jesus who lives in me is going to give me the strength. I'm going to listen to my conscience, and I plan on bringing down some demonic spirits. Do you think Jesus could have begun his ministry against destroying the powers of darkness without being tempted? He who knew no sin. The Bible says he was tested in all points as we, yet without sin. So I want to speak to you about the art of overcoming temptation, because Jesus is showing us that every temptation is like a battlefield. There are stages of temptation. Go with me to James for a moment. Verse 13 is better. Oh, let's go with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Oh. Endureth. You're not giving into it, but you're enduring it. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Always a reward after every temptation. I want you to know that. Someone tempts you to become spiritually proud. The Lord wants to exalt you. He wants to give you more authority. He wants to give you power for his glory, not for you. And the poor child couldn't handle it. The poor child thought it was all about him or her. So they got a big head and became spiritually proud. Whose responsibility is it to get rid of that pride? It's not the Lord's responsibility. It's our responsibility to check ourselves. To prove. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We have to guard our own souls. And we have to keep ourselves. The Bible says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But what about temptation? Are there stages? James teaches us there are. And if you don't mind, I want to teach you the stages of temptation. Temptation itself is not a sin. Let me go over that. Let me go over here. Temptation is not a sin. But consent is. Let me read it. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. But every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. The first stage is suggestion. I said suggestion. Maybe somebody over here. The devil will suggest something to you. He'll suggest something to you, like, let me just give you an example of spiritual pride. Someone is up there singing, and you are so sure you have such a better voice. And you're saying, how could they be up there? I should be up there. We have now a sin of entitlement and pride. Hello? And we have now become so covetous. We become spiritually covetous of the person who's singing. So now what do? We see those thoughts in our mind. It's a suggestion. You haven't sinned yet. It's an ungodly suggestion from the pit of hell. And you say, oh my goodness, Jesus, I just check my thoughts. Please, Lord, have mercy. Cleanse me of that spiritual pride. And bless the person singing on the stage. Hello? 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 Are you hearing me? So that first area of temptation is suggestion. Now it can get stronger. It can be a suggestion. Oh God, oh Holy Spirit, this is hard. But I have to do what he told me to do. somebody has a very difficult time with their wife. They got in a terrible argument, God forbid. They go to church, of all places, and they see a little gal in the church. They start having conversation, just being friends. And before you know it, there's the suggestion. So what are you going to do with the suggestion? Don't look at me like you're sitting there and don't know what I'm talking about. Most of you know what I'm talking about. You need to root that thing out the minute that suggestion comes. You need to say, if I got to fast 24 hours, get out of here, you foul devil. Are you hearing me? So the first stage is suggestion. The second stage is very dangerous because it's entertainment. It's when your mind begins to entertain the thought. You start being entertained by it. Well, here's a thought. I don't need to go to church today. I went last week and I'm tired. That golf field sure looks nice. They put new grass in it. Boy, my best friends are going golfing. Don't mind if I do. Nobody will miss me in church anyway. So I'll just go at the time that I consecrated to God to serve him. And you find yourself on the golf field instead of serving the Lord. And you had a lot of days off. You had a lot of time. You could have been in the golf field if you needed to be there. Why are you choosing the day that's God's day? That belongs to the Lord when he's waiting for us more than we're waiting for him. He longs for us when we come to church. He longs to see the sacrifice of our lives being consecrated to him. You don't come for man. You come for the Lord. I just wanted to give you a little bit easier one because that last one was a real humdinger. Okay? All right, are you with me? I had to tone it down a little bit. Are y'all with me? The first two stages are not sin. But when you're entertaining the thing, it's very dangerous. You're now playing with fire. Jesus, at the Garden of Gethsemane, wasn't caring about himself. He himself was going to be subjected to a temptation. The whole place was about temptation. He said to his disciples, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." Came back after great drops of blood, his sweat, his agony. Why was he in agony? Because he so wanted to resist the cross in the natural. He knew everything that was going to happen at Calvary. But he's making a choice out of love. Love will always help you choose the right decision. You always get out of temptation when you love your neighbor first. When you love your neighbor and consider the need of somebody else more than yourself. And so, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus resisted the temptation, and he came again and found them sleeping. And he said, "Rise and pray that you enter not into temptation." Peter already put his guards down. He thought He was really a wonderful disciple when he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. But within hours, he would be warming his hands in a fire and not be able to claim Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Had he listened? But Jesus comforted him before he sinned. Jesus didn't want him overwhelmed with grief because Jesus knew his repentance was going to be so grievous that he was going to blame himself, something that would be difficult to forgive. You see, God's already forgiven us. But do we forgive ourselves? Jesus wants to help him. That's why he said it ahead of time. Satan has desired to have you. He put a claim on you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. I've given you. I've prayed. I'm with you. I know you're going to do this. But I've prayed. And I'm already assuring you, when you convert, you're going to strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise. In the last and final stage of temptation, first, suggestion. Second, entertainment. Third, consent. Consent. Consent is the sin. I said consent is the sin. So we have to build up our ability to resist temptation.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.